Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting, Monday, October 8, 2018.
Why are we so late? We always run late all the time around here. I don't get it. We're always running late.
I feel sorry for the teachers here.
If I get up, run out, then you'll know.
Your girl said, when I went in there, she's like, your front gal, she's like, I bet you she don't give the shot to her because she have clinic.
Here, I'll just
and she's like, I want to bet you. I was like, bet me one.
I could knock.
Of course. She's like telling, do it. And she's like, yeah, I'll do it for you. I said, Maine and Abby. It only cost you $100.
That's why we're so late. Somebody just chatty cat.
Are we good? Are we on? Are we live?
Okay, we're going to call the Dakota County Board of Equalization to order. It is 3:02. We'll start with the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with
liberty and justice for all. So, I just got a quick question here before you start. Is Jeff or Christy, you're representing Jeff today? Okay, thank you. I didn't see Jeff. I see you.
Okay. Joan, can you call roll?
Kevin?
Here.
Marty?
Here.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
The current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We will start with the consent agenda items, and that is the approval of the previous minutes from September 24th of 2018. Need a
so motion? Moved, I'll approve.
Second.
Yes.
Marty?
Yeah.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes. Move on to new business. New business A, the board to levy the necessary taxes for the 2018-19 budget year and certify all levies for Dakota County and the political subdivisions.
On the screen here.
Didn't this take place a few meetings back? Is that correct? No?
You set the subdivision levies for the fire.
Yeah, okay, that's right, that's right, that's right, that's right.
And then everyone else is to have their budgets to the county clerk's office by September 20th. And then this is the levy with the budget, tax request, and their value figures the levy.
All right, does anyone have any discussion on this?
I don't think anything really sticks out too horribly. I mean, unless somebody sees anything differently, obviously the okay. A lot of them stay the same. A lot of, you know, I mean.
Okay. Well then, do we need a
motion? I would move to certify all the levies for the Dakota County and the political subdivisions for budget year 18-19.
I'd second that.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Okay. B, will review the property valuation protest by considering all the papers relating to the protest and the findings and the recommendations of the referee, and may make the order recommended by the referee or any other order in the judgment of the Board of Equalization required by the findings of the referee, or may hear additional testimony, or may set aside such findings and hear the protest anew. So I think we'll start with, does Christy have anything for us? Nothing more than what we've got.
I think it's the same.
We did look
through last meeting. That meeting.
Yeah, we looked at these.
Eight. There's two on the bottom.
There's two, Mike's yeah.
And Vitito that
oh, okay.
Were not heard last.
Okay, so look.
So I've got to yep. Think Mike's up and Bart up here.
Bart's ready to talk.
Good afternoon. I'm Bart Gotchen here on behalf of St. Mike's and Pat Flood, who filed that revised protest. And back in the meeting in July, I think we agreed that we're just going to go to 77, and we received a letter to that fact. And then in August, we received a letter saying it was back to the original. So that's
of the 104,590.
Right.
And I don't know if you guys all remember that, but yeah, we talked about that, and then all of a sudden,
right.
it goes back to the 104. And I know I've had a conversation with Bart, you know, outside on the curb at the post office about this. So, and I don't understand how, you know, we set that, you know, originally at the 77, then all of a sudden he gets the 104,590, the amended clerical, admitted. So I don't.
That's the land.
The land.
Right.
They were claiming the land was exempt.
And I believe that was what Jeff had told us, that we lowered it because the land was exempt, and then Jeff came back in and said that the land is not exempt because it's leased out.
Yes.
Is that how he was explaining it?
The property's leased out. It's not just the building. It's the land and the building.
Okay.
And I mean, I think we just, I mean, at that discussion, I just remember we said, well, what if we knock the land off? We can knock it off the other value too. So I mean, I think that's what the discussion was. So I mean, we could put the land back and adjust the buildings down and still come up to the 77. So it'd be
right.
I guess I don't remember Jeff coming back, or I don't know, maybe I wasn't. I just remember, you know, going with the 77, and that was kind of Jeff's recommendation at the time as well. So I'm a little bit confused if they thought it was exempt. And that was that supposed to just be the building only then, the 77? And then, but the
7255 is the building value alone,
right?
Not the land.
Okay.
And the reason they included the land is because they received income, I suppose, off the land. Is that right?
Yes, it's not exempt. It's not permissible exempt.
Because they received their rent, right?
Yep.
So I guess, what do you have for a
recommendation? Well, originally I was here to lower the value of the buildings based on what our accountants and the regulators was, is the land on our buildings on leased ground doesn't have near the value when you don't own the land. So my original protest was to lower the value of the buildings and not the land. And then as we went through this discussion, we just said, well, what if we did it this way? And he asked me if that was okay with me, and I said, that's fine.
This may be one that we want to table until Jeff would be here.
Yeah, I think it's...
Christy?
Yep.
Is that a fair statement?
Sure. He's going to be back tomorrow.
He'll be back tomorrow, so
tomorrow
2 weeks.
I
hate to deal without Jeff.
Well, and I do too, but I got to tell you, just the sure made it sound like that it was kind of silly that we're doing this. Or I mean, do you have something additional to add to that, Christy, or not?
No, I mean, St. Mike's doesn't even claim permissive exempt because they leased it out.
Okay.
So the land can never be exempt.
Well, and I think that we all accept that, but in the same time, I think that the dollar amount that we set. And then I, of the 77,255. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, and we'll get it figured out. But I'm just saying, if I remember this board originally setting that for 77,250, and I don't, or 255, and I don't know why it changed back to the original by showing. So I guess I'm having a hard time understanding that. I guess is what I'm doing.
So who changed from 77 to 104?
They added the land back.
They added the land, but we didn't act on that. I don't.
Oh,
think.
Okay.
Yes, you did.
We did.
You approved the amended clerical, and then he got a new value sent to him, and now he had 30 days to protest that new value from that amended clerical.
But my original protest was not to lower the land. My original protest was to lower the property. And then we went through the discussions, and that's where we came, let's just take the land off. So, and he asked me if that was okay with me, and I said I could live with that. So
now you need to decide what the value of the building is.
Let's revisit the building value again.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that part, I think. I think we should get with Jeff and we'll revisit the building. We'll look at that and then we'll figure that out. And then, like Bill said, maybe let's just table it and then we'll, our next, it became a habit to have a Board of Equalization meeting and just give Kevin good practice. So we'll just have another one here in a couple weeks. So,
sounds like he's moving towards that chairman's house.
Well, that is a great
good observation.
So let's just do that then.
That'd be October 22nd then. Is that
right? Yeah, today's the 8th would be the October 22nd, correct.
You're okay with the previous improvement value of 68,410?
Well, I think I protested down lower because I went down to whatever the regulators allowed me to carry it at.
Okay.
And
so you put that on. Is your appeal time going to be still okay, I guess?
If we can figure out netting it the same, I'm okay. I can live
with that.
So if we backed in and put 27 back on land and this, you know, roughly 50 or whatever on the building, and we still come up with 77, I'm okay with that.
Well, yeah, I think if we can do this on building valuations, we probably should have Jeff.
Yeah. Let's go there.
So, but Kim's question is to make sure that we're in the guideline of the time frame, correct?
Yep.
Of if it's 2 weeks from now, that
you might be able to.
See, it's 30 days.
Protest.
Or is there a way you can agree to the 77, but just reallocate the land back in there?
Bart, you had done some homework that indicated that there were the value of the building would be less on leased property.
I just put down to what the regulators.
The regulators are okay. Okay.
The value.
Yeah.
Have you got that value on your protest?
One was
the original.
Here.
What your regulators came up with.
I think the original protest was. Significantly lower. Okay, significantly. I put the lot at 10,620, which was the value of the lot that's to the west of the church, and that's what that's valued at.
Okay.
And then I put the building at 18,360, and so I had a total of 28,970. And then we came back and said, "Would you live at 77?"
All right. Yeah.
I can sure come back, but then if we have a deadline, we need to.
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to figure.
At the end of the day, I'm sure that we're not
going to be too late.
No, we're not.
To the 22nd.
It's going to be too late.
Yeah. So the land's at 48,285. And the building was going to be at 28,970 is what we were looking at. Previous land.
You can go back and pull that the first protest if you want to do that. It was 643, right? Isn't that what I saw? Sorry.
$35. There's the difference right there. Okay. Previous land.
Original. Exemption for church lease land removed. Land stays attached to parcel. Bring agreement between Bart and the church.
On who pays
the land. So that was. It was 104.
I guess my problem is if we agreed to the $77,000 and however, at the time of the protest, you know, however we want to value the land and the building, but what's that?
It needs to be equalized.
Well, I understand equalization, what the whole point of it is. So if that's the case, isn't it? Whatever. So are we going to do this in 2 weeks and still be in the guidelines? What are we doing?
It's too late.
Okay.
Hey, Christy, if we put it at the 77, will it throw it out of equalization?
Yes.
It looked like the note said that it's now equalized with that value.
It's commercial. I don't know what he's comparing it to. If he's comparing it to a residential lot, if he's comparing it to something that's on Dakota Avenue. You can't, I mean, it's got
to
be.
I compared it to the same lot that's on. There's the lots to the back of it.
They would have to talk to Ron and Joe.
Okay.
So what can we?
That's all been redone by TDI, so it was all done the same.
But if you run out of time,
wish Jeff was here.
Well, and I do too. And this is the thing. I mean, I understand that the tax evaluation people did this, but. If the Board of Equalization agreed to or said or to the 77,
yes, and then we can try to work something out if you want to do that too.
So I think without the time frame, Bart, to my recollection, I think you're going to have to maybe take it to the next step to the turf situation. I guess, unfortunately, as much as I hate to say that.
Okay.
And maybe once we talk to Jeff, we can maybe work it out before so it doesn't go that far. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So instead of us tabling this, okay, Christy will talk to Jeff, and then we'll have Jeff. If you could, Christy, have Jeff call Bart, and let's work out the details. And I guess worst case scenario, if it has to come back to us to approve it, we can't approve it then. No.
You're talking about like a stipulation.
What's that?
Stipulation in the turd case.
Oh, a stipulation in the turd case. Okay. So let's see. I'm just trying to figure this out and move on. Is what I'm trying to do here. Okay.
Yeah, once he appeals to turd, though, then we still have a right to look at it again, right?
We can still try to work something out. A settlement.
Why don't you appeal to turd, and then we'll meet again.
Okay. Or if we can talk to Jeff before and not do that, fine.
Well, we'd have to have a special meeting, probably. If we get it that way. Either way.
Okay.
What day do we have till?
When is the actual 30 days?
But if he goes to turn, then that would start that over. That start that over, then we'd have time.
Yeah, then we'd be
just by
through. Maybe 2 weeks and go through it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So because the 30 days, we have turn forms from Christy then?
4 days. Yeah.
Jump
off.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for listening. Yeah. Sorry about the confusion.
No, that's fine. Both of us ours. Thanks,
all right.
Mark.
All right.
Thank you.
The 11th or 12th is the deadline.
The 11th
or 12th.
Okay.
So that is that one. So now we have Doug Bitito. Is Doug here? I don't think so. Okay. So we have, I guess our recommendation was the 226,200.
220.
Is that what we had?
It's supposed to be 220. Sorry, that was a typo on my part.
220.
Yeah, he's not going to be here to argue. It went down on him. So why would he be here?
It should be
220.
220.
It says 226 there, John.
226,220, and I hit 226,200.
Oh.
It should be.
Okay.
226,220.
226,220. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And Jeff did work with them and lowered it.
So we're good there.
Surprised that he is protested.
Okay, so
that's to be go that lower.
Okay, so we've got the St. Mike's. We're not going to have a motion on.
Yes, we have to. We have to send it to 104.590 in order for him to go to term.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay, so those are our only two that we had, right, Joan?
Yes.
Okay, so I will make a motion that we follow the recommended, amended, clerical omitted for protest 2-4, parcel 220038139, and protest 2-5, parcel number 220153450.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes. Okay. C, we'll hear requests from the Haven House Family Services for the following vehicle to be exempt from the motor vehicle tax. 2016 Dodge Wagon, and said vehicle used to transport victims of domestic violence and sexual assault, transport client food and supplies on a daily basis, and after consideration of the recommendation of the County Treasurer Board, shall approve or deny the exemption on the basis of law and the rules of regulation adopted and promulgated by the Tax Commissioner. So is there anyone here from Haven House? Okay, nobody here from Haven House. Kim, did you get a chance to look at?
I think Bob can probably touch base on this. I mean, it's a formality.
Yeah, Chairman, this is just a we have done this in the past for these folks and other groups. So, just I would recommend that we
Okay. All right. Well, I'll make that motion then to approve the. The following vehicle be exempt from the motor vehicle tax, 2016 Dodge Wagon SE.
I'll second it, Kevin.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay, we'll move on to D, the board to approve or deny county attorney to stipulate the 2017 value for 2018 for T&M Holdings, limited parcels 220069530 and 220070229. And Martin parcel 220198160.
I think it's pretty simple, cut and dry. We talked about this again last time, unless something's changed, who knows. But I think what we need to do is to approve of the county attorney to stipulate the 2017 values for the 2018 for TMM Holdings on the different on the three different parcels, or the two parcels and the Martin one parcel. And then, obviously, next year we're going to relook at everything. So, basically, roll them back, correct? Okay. Am I allowed to say that? Roll them back to the taxes that was present, and then we'll relook at it next year. So, that's my motion.
Sorry. I second that.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Okay. We have mail and or emergency business. And don't believe we have any of that. So we'll move on to public comment for the Board of Equalization. If we have none of that, then we will adjourn. 3:25.
So okay, we're gonna 3:26, whatever. We're okay. We're gonna move into the County Board of Commissioners meeting. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Bill?
Yes.
Okay. A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the wall there by the door. If anybody's in interest of following along with the agenda here. I'm going to start off with number one, the public comment. The Board of Commissioners will hear comments about any items that's not on the agenda, and the chair has discretion to limit the time of the comment. So at this point in time, I'm going to open up to the public. If anybody has any public comment that they would like to, he or she would like to get up to state, if you would, state your name and address. If not, we'll move on to consent agenda items. We got A, the approval of the previous minutes, September 24 of 2018. We have the approval of the payroll claims. We have the approval of council payables, if there is any. And D, we have the approval of the chair to sign the certification of the cost allocation plan for the clerk of district court child support for cost recovery plan based on actual expenditures for FYE 2017 for use of FY 2019. So the only thing I can have here is obviously we have a payroll issue yet. So if you want to discuss that, do you want me to go over what they are? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to go about this?
I've had a chance to look at them.
I think everybody's looked at them. I think everybody knows what the situation is. So so what's the board want to do about?
I would move to approve the consent agenda items. And with that, payroll claims approved with the raises that the board approved previously, which was the 35 cents an hour.
Okay. So basically, you're going to approve it. You're going to approve all the consent agenda items, and then also for myself to sign on D, except
yes.
for the
yes.
difference in the the raises that was outside of the county board's approval.
Right.
Okay, do I have a second? Okay, we get a motion by Bill and a second by Tony. Will you call roll, please?
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
No.
Marty?
Yep.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
No. Okay, we're going to move on to new business. Jared, representing Congressman Adrian Smith, to provide an update for Congressman Smith. Did I say all that right? I think so.
I don't think he's here.
He's not here today, is he? Good.
Campaigning. He might come a little bit
late. Listen to me. Good. No, he's a nice guy to talk to, and he's very knowledgeable. He's a good guy. Okay, we're going to move on to B then. We'll see if Jared shows up. Tim, civil engineering at the contractors, the LLC, to provide a cost estimate on M Avenue paving project. Is he here? What's that?
We took that off.
We took that off. Okay. That's the reason why it was kind of a faint color. Okay. Well, Tim's not here. That's off. Good. Okay, we're going to move on to C. Board to award bid for motor grader. Bids were open on September 24, 2018 from Ziegler and Murphy Tractor and referred to the road committee. Well, and of course, the road committee looked at it, and obviously, you know, if there was going to be a machine that once we move on, well, to take a vote on this, because I think what happened was at the last meeting, it was going to be turned over and we were going to give you our recommendation on the machine. And well, who wants to say what on it? I mean, we looked at the different machines, and obviously there was the one that was more suitable. But instead of talking about which was more suitable, let's just move on to a vote. How's that sound?
You made a recommendation.
Well, the recommendation was we for the monies and what we purchased last time. I guess our recommendation was the. Fred, where are you at? It was the 772, the deer, correct?
Correct.
Okay, that's what our recommendation was.
From the county board committee.
Well, I'm on the road committee.
Yeah.
And I hate to get behind the eight ball. We've done it before on equipment, whether it be police vehicles or road equipment. But right now, I don't feel is the time to update road graders. I'm sorry, Fred. You know, we've obviously nobody here wants to borrow money to operate. And it's in Fred's budget, I understand that, but he can give that money back. I just don't think it's the right time or place to be trading equipment at this price. It's a big number. And I hate this. I've never gone this way before. I've always wanted to keep our equipment updated, and we always have. I just can't recommend us doing that right now at this time. I'm out of here in December, but I don't want to leave you guys in a position where you have to borrow money to operate in.
I agree with Bill. I feel the same way Bill does. And just because something's in the budget is always, you know, I always hear everybody say, you know, it's in the budget. Just because it's in the budget doesn't mean you have to spend it. And the financial shape the county's in right now, I'm just not comfortable spending that money. And I understand that, you know, we could have problems with that road grader before it's time to trade it in if we do it 6 months from now or a year from now. And I guess that's a chance that we're, you know, a chance we may take. But with everything else that's going on, I'd be more comfortable not voting for that today.
Okay.
That's your second.
Well, that's your second. That's fine. But I just want to state something here real quick before we go on to a vote. And if it's a motion and a second, that's fine. But the only problem that I have at it, and I couldn't agree more, I agree a lot in certain ways with Marty and Bill, but in the same time, I feel like, yes, we've been kind of hammered with raises, and you know, everybody got their raise and people want more. I mean, what's enough? And we'd love to be able to give more, but you cannot compare a raise to having equipment that you need to operate your county roads. Okay, and I know you got 12,000 hours, and nobody has a crystal ball in this room to be able to tell you if that thing's going to run 20,000 hours or if it's going to run another 500 hours. I get that, but I know that if you get behind the eight ball with this, it could haunt you, and it could haunt you bad. You could be throwing good money at bad money, okay? And I guess if this, and I've sat on the Budget and Finance Committee for 7 years, and I know it's not fun, okay? I get that, because you got to make a lot of decisions that people aren't going to be happy about, some people are going to be happy about. But I guess my theory is on this, if we would have looked at this budget 6-8 months ago, and then all of a sudden we're getting to the latter end of it and saying, okay, yeah, we're kind of in a trouble here right now. But you know, the budget was just approved, you know, 45 days ago. So that's just my theory on it. Okay. And I'm not criticizing your guys' decision or the Budget and Finance Committee, but if this would have, you know, if this, I just feel like from 45 days ago, you know, when we approved everything, I just think it's such a short period of time. That's all I'm saying, okay? So, with that said, Bill made a motion to deny for the time being on the maintainer of the purchase. Marty has seconded it. Will you call roll, please?
Kevin?
No.
Marty?
No. You're voting.
Put it. Later.
Voting yes would mean no to the purchase.
Yeah. Well, then I'm not voting yes.
You're voting yes.
Okay. Yes. So you're voting yes?
Well, I'm voting yes.
For the denial of it.
But I mean, okay, thank you.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
No.
Tony?
Yes.
Okay, Fred, you're not getting a new maintainer. Hope it all works out for everybody.
That's a tough decision.
Yep. Okay, we're going to move on to D. Ronald Rapp, Financial Services, and Matt, President of Mid-America Benefits, Inc., regarding a change in the third-party administrator to the TPA services for the county self-funded benefit plan. Welcome, gentlemen.
Rob.
And we also have Don. I can't forget. Don, where do you come back in the picture at? What's going on? You're like an old shoe, right?
Yeah.
You just don't ever go away.
I talked to Tony.
Can I say that?
Some other folks about what we might be able to do for the county, because it's been a couple of years since you've had any real guidance, I think. And so I work with Robert on a lot of other things, and so like a bad penny, I'm back.
Yes. I'm Robert Rapp with Interstate Insurance Services. We've been fortunate enough. My father was
and I worked on. Did I say Ronald?
It's on.
Well, but I know better, but I just call you Rap all the time.
It's
I don't even use the front name. I just use just Rap.
Yes. We've been fortunate enough, my father and I have been fortunate enough to have the county's group insurance, health insurance since 2005. And it currently with another, with group resources, which was Three Rivers of Benefit locally in Sioux City. They have been purchased by a company in Georgia, and that's a little different story than it used to be. So we, Don used to work for Group Resources. He was retired a couple years ago. He and I have been working together with other clients, and we made a business arrangement with Mid-American Benefits out of Omaha. They are a local third-party administrator. Matt Wollenweber is now president. He just is in the process of purchasing the rest of the business in Omaha, and we have publicly moved the city of South Sioux City. We have been fortunate enough to have their business since 2005 as well. We, last year at this time, moved the city of South Sioux City to Mid-American Benefits, and that's why we are here today to make a maybe a proposal to change the third-party administrator to Mid-American Benefits. So where Don comes into the picture is Don is working with us along with Mid-American, and he is more of the hand-drawn side of the business, and obviously Matt is here representing his firm, and he is truly the hands-on. They do all the claim processing, everything else, so I will turn it over to Matt.
Before you do that, can I just say a couple things? We vetted Matt a couple, 3 years ago when we had clients that said we need to change because they weren't happy. So when in the process of doing that, we have clients that are extremely happy and who have volunteered to be you know, to tell you how good they feel about it. You guys all know Lance. You know Nancy from here. You know Mary from here. They're all excited about that. Lindy Gill's another one who's very, very happy about that, as well as Sandy Bosard. And we don't give those names out without asking them first, but they're extremely...
Did you say Lindy Gill?
Lindy.
Gill Holling?
Gill Holling, yeah. They're very, very happy with that. I just want to summarize why we're here. There's four main reasons that we think you're a better fit for a Mass organization. One is long term. Mass organization isn't in Atlanta, Georgia. It's in Omaha and it's domiciled in Nebraska. We think long term that makes good sense. Number two, it's less expensive. Your rates for next year that he's proposed are less than your expenses for this year that you're getting today. Number three, the claims process is much smoother, much more accurate, and much more timely than what you're used to. And number four, the thing that makes a big difference in self-funding is compliance. When we did the city move, we found that there was a lot of issues that needed to be updated that hadn't been, and that's a serious issue for you folks. So those are the reasons why we came and said, okay, if you can get better for less, why wouldn't you want to do that? So with that, I'll turn it over to Matt.
Thanks, Robert and Don. Thank you.
Usually that's a closing. I don't. You edited it backwards a little bit. Usually that's a closing.
You guys are fluffing here now.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, these guys will tell you. Right on top of the table. First, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yes. Thank you.
To be here today. As the guy said, we are a locally founded company back in 1981, so been in business a long, long time. My two partners, who I've been working with for the last 20 years, recently are on the retirement mode, and so now I'll be president and taking over the company completely. You have several pieces of information in front of you. I'm not going to beleaguer your time with going through some, but I have a few key points that I think are important, and Don and Robert already talked about them. We're here in Nebraska. We're local. We have a niche business. We do a lot of counties and cities throughout the state of Nebraska and western Iowa. We feel we have a lot of expertise and experience in that capacity. I've stood in front of many board of commissioners and supervisors similar to yours. I'm accustomed to doing that and also understand, I think, the needs and the demographics of county and city organizations. we would do in your self-funded plan all of the reinsurance marketing on your behalf in collaboration with the team here. We have a stable full of reinsurance carriers that we go to regularly. We write with a variety of those, about six different companies, of which your organization, being the size, demographics, etc., would have a great marketplace for the companies that we work with. Obviously, we have other counties and cities in our stable, and so those organizations understand the demographics, the nuances, the variety in this type of organization, and what it takes to write a good health plan for your type of company and organization. Don mentioned compliance. We take great pride in that. We have connections with several different law firms and also the Society of Professional Benefit Administrators that help us collaborate everything from a compliance arrangement and making sure that your plans are in compliance. You're unique because you're a non-federal government program. That's different than being an independent business. It's different than being a federal government organization. So there's some nuances with that particular type of arrangement. The other thing is I'm here, and that's my commitment to all of you. Myself and my team are available. They'll take great pride in your organization. You as the client comes first. We're a service organization. And that's what we do. We service our clients, we bring great products and arrangements to the table, but first and foremost, our people will take a hands-on approach and take great care of your team, your individual plan participants. We have a dedicated claim analyst to every one of our accounts. Everyone is cross-trained inside of our organization because we do allow people to take some vacation and time off, et cetera. But that's really our pitch and our claim. You'll see me when you need to see me, and at your beck and call, I'll be up here. And as Don said, the buck stops here. I make the decisions, I live with the decisions, and I'll stand by those and do my best to take great care of your county. That's my close.
That was a better close than yours.
I thought Don was going to close now.
No, he's already had his chance. Hey, listen, what's this going to do for the LEC since we had that big hike last time around?
The LEC is fully insured. I don't quote me on this, but Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska filed with the commission for a 5.9% increase. Now, that's an average, so we don't know if yours is going to be a little higher, a little lower, or 5.9. Okay. It shouldn't be the 20% we've been dealing with.
Right, exactly. That's why I'm... And I was just kind of wrapping my head around all this
to go back to, and I'll be brief because I know you're in kind of a hurry, but it was me that showed up with Ron Rapp in 2005, and at that time nobody wanted the county. And you were struggling severely. Those of you who were here might remember that. Anyway, we introduced you to stop loss. It's been good for you ever since. It's been a up and down because you live and die by your claims. But and Matt's organization pays claims and does things according to your plan, but the reality is that you live and die by those claims. So you want somebody that's watching out for you, and you want somebody that's shopping a lot of different stop-loss carriers because they normally don't go down. They normally go up, and then you have to convince them to come back down by looking at other companies, and he does all that stuff. So.
And then I think our situation, you know, I think we've done well over some years, and you're going to have those rocky moments. I think, yeah. I mean, that's just the way it is. It's the inevitable. So basically, you're here today for the third party, and obviously, you guys take care of this for us, and we kind of go with your recommendations on things like this. I mean, for the most part. I mean, obviously, these guys might have some questions for you, but obviously, you guys have done us a great job. You know, the 8 years that I've been around, and I think you guys are pretty upfront, forward, and you know. So, does anybody have any questions for Matt or?
When do we renew? March.
We renew in March, but the one key issue here is that you have a flex plan that renews in January.
Oh, okay.
So there's a calendar year there. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
And so that becomes very imperative to get that taken care of with the new TPA before we get into.
All right. How about in counties in this area that you represent?
Let's see. The closest one would be.
Cherry County.
Cherry?
I'm just saying. Yeah. Cherry County.
Let's see. We do Colfax County. I'm again, just trying to think. Yeah. Seward. Hall. mean, I can name several of them. They're kind of bounced all over the place. I understand there's 93 of them throughout. But and I can get you more detail a little bit closer, et cetera. And like Don said, has some references that would be readily available locally who we've partnered with. By the way, these guys have taken great care of you. They do a fantastic job. It's been a pleasure getting to know them and working with their organization also. But, yeah, we can get you some more information about that. As far as specifics and locality. But just to let you know, I come here, I go west, to western Iowa, et cetera. So that's, you know, draw a circle around Omaha, Nebraska, 500 miles. You know, we all go all the way to the western side of Nebraska and into Iowa. So that's our niche.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's the board's pleasure here? Let's. These guys got to be on their way. Is this actionary or is this something no action needed on this? Okay. Well, listen, thanks for coming. I don't think anybody has any questions. Kevin, Tony, anyone?
No.
Tim, Joan, anybody have any questions for him? Yeah, like I said, we trust these guys. Oh, Don's a little shakier than what.
Don's been with us for quite a few years.
He could provide some references, maybe.
Yeah, I'll collaborate with Don and Robert. Yep, all right. Absolutely.
Got you. And you've looked ahead.
Who's Robert? You looked at the Robert guy. Who's Robert?
You're only looking ahead to what we're looking at next year, and you've done some comparisons.
Yeah, you basically what we're talking about is I think that it's a little under $6,000 savings that you're going to have next year over what you're paying this year. The other thing is you've got fixed benefits, and they just adapt to that, but they'll give you all new documentation, which will be up to date, et cetera, et cetera. So their service is exemplary, and I would encourage you to talk to Lindy or talk to Lance or talk to one of those folks because they've just raved about the service, and I'm extremely happy about it. I didn't want to put my reputation on the line unless I knew that they were going to be really, really good. Because in spite of what Scott says, I think I have a pretty good reputation.
Well, I want to clarify one thing that Don said, because I don't want it to come back to bite any of us, but the $6,000 is in our administrative services.
Yeah. Okay.
So that it's doesn't have the reinsurance and claims, et cetera, because we're not there yet.
That's going to be what it's going to be. It's going to be that based on
That's our
contracts that he can get and whatever the claims have.
Okay, I got one last question before, and Joan's going to put this on the next agenda for the 22nd of October. How long is this city? When did you guys convert the city over? Maybe you said
February of this,
this year. So,
and
I don't know if you guys want a recommendation, you know, of a letter of some sort, but I would think that between Lindy Gill and some of the local people that maybe we can just contact. I mean, Nancy's is on us the day as long. You know, she's going to tell us what they think, or Lance. So, I mean, if you want to go through, I don't know who asked for the. But I would think that
there's enough
if they've had it since February, I would think that.
Thank you.
Unless, yeah.
Lindy,
okay.
Lindy's had a couple of years.
Oh, has she?
And so has Sandy Bozard, Lifeform. They've been around for a couple of years.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that my opinion.
Yeah,
if somebody wants something, then
we'll just follow up.
All right. Listen. Thank you, guys, for coming. I appreciate it. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. We're going to move back to on new business. Jared showed up here. Jared, welcome. You're going to you're representing Congressman Adrian Smith. You're going to give us an update on the congressman.
Correct. And I apologize.
How's he doing?
It's a little bit of a drive.
Is he doing okay?
Yes.
Good.
And he's 11-month-old, is doing even better than he is. Though he's doing what an 11-month-old does, which is making sure he doesn't sleep that much.
Yeah, right. Been there, done that.
But anyway, I'll cut to the chase in the interest of time. The congressman continues to serve on the Ways and Means Committee in the House of Representatives, where he sits on two subcommittees. He's on the subcommittee for health, and they do a variety of things, but their chief responsibility is critical access hospital support from the federal government. In addition to that, he serves as the chairperson for the Human Resources Subcommittee. They're legally responsible for everything that the Social Security Act provides for, except for the fund itself. The Social Security Fund is a separate committee on its own in terms of administration. In addition to that, he sits on the House Committee for Administration, and their responsibility is the Capitol Hill Police, the oversight of the Smithsonian Institution, the Library of Congress, and all of the Smithsonian affiliates. So things like the Railroad Museum in Omaha, for example, that's a Smithsonian affiliate, and consequently the congressman has some oversight to that.
Right.
Legislatively, the congressman's been working on a variety of things. Particular one of interest for Dakota County may be what he calls the Jobs Act, which passed the House floor in late September. It does a lot of things, but the big picture effort of what it does is it tries to take the welfare updates that happened in the mid-90s and modernizes them to make them more efficient and restore some more accountability to the process. One particular item that he wants to revise through this bill is the casework standard that is in place right now. Currently, the federal government only requires that 50% of individuals who receive federal support through welfare-related benefits have casework. The congressman wants to mandate 100%. Another example of what he would do is take some of the what they call the welfare cliff and generically speaking, turn that into more of a rollback process, because what he's noticed as he travels the 3rd District is one of the chief issues you run into when it comes to people getting back to work and getting back into the job market is when they hit a certain amount of money being made in the household, they immediately lose all of their benefits. He'd like to roll that, put that into a situation to empower them to get back to work while slowly seeing their benefits recede. So otherwise, the congressman did what he could do to get the farm bill passed. It did get stuck in committee at the end of, it did get stuck in conference committee, which is a combined committee of senators and House members at the end of September, and did technically not make the deadline for passage. He's hopeful they'll still be able to get something through in the lame duck session. But until then, we're going to be sitting sort of a status quo as far as the Farm Bill and related programs are concerned. I'll close with reminding you that if you ever have any questions, comments, or concerns related to how the executive branch is operating and maybe needing to get something moving a little faster, please don't hesitate to contact our Grand Island office, 308-384-3900. That's where the congressman's caseworkers are all housed, and their exclusive job is to help constituents and organizations that represent constituents like the county make the federal government work more efficiently. So with that, is there any comments, questions, concerns I can take back to the congressman?
One thing, we received our FEMA money, and I think that's due to your staff and office and the congressman.
Okay.
We had contact during our city-county school meeting back in January, maybe. And the congressman is here. We talked about a little bit with him that this money from the 14 storm had not arrived yet from FEMA. And just a few months ago, we received it. So thank you. I think that probably pushed it along.
I will pass that along.
Yeah.
Glad to hear that.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing. So, yeah, that was, yeah, right. Thank you.
I did receive a letter from him on September 28th. And I want a little bit more clarification of this letter. I think that I understand what it's trying to tell me, but can you tell me a little bit more about what it's trying to?
I'm going to have him or a legislative person follow you directly, because that's a pretty generic letter.
Yeah. So just tell him that. He knows me. Just tell him to Tony Gomez.
Oh, yes. he knows you heard
him. Very well. I know that.
It's G-O-M-E-Z.
Tell him thank you for sending me a letter.
Any other questions for Jared? Thank you for coming, and thanks for all the hard work you guys are doing, and and for the update.
And I appreciate the flexibility. Grand Island is a bit of a wet drive today.
No, I'm sure.
Where's your next stop? Back to Grand Island?
Today, back to Grand Island, since we're technically not we're not open today.
So. Right.
Was it raining all the way up?
Oh, yeah.
I like it. Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming. We appreciate this.
Thank you.
You spend the time to get here. Okay, sounds great. Let's move on to, I think we're on to miscellaneous now. We got Fred Kellogg, Highway Superintendent, Road Report. Fred?
September 22nd through October 6th, 288 hours of road maintenance, debris removal 2 hours, mowing.
Hang on, let me add a little time on that mowing, okay? You got 4.5 right now, which one of your Code Blue or Code Red or whatever his name is did. And I'm going to throw another 25 hours on that.
Next time, let him have the field.
Okay, so that'd be a total of 29 and a half hours. Larry, have you seen me out mowing? I look good, don't I, in that tractor?
Yeah. You even had a co-pilot in there. Keep you going.
Well, that one day my son, he just wanted some money, so I had to keep moving. And so he just sat in the jump seat with me for a second, and then I kicked him out. Yeah. Yeah, he wanted some money. You ever had that happen to you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Fred.
Garbage pickup, 2 hours. Gravel haul, 2,500 tons. Signs and barricading, 10.5 hours. Road concerns, 3. Grading, Odell, gravel on Odell also. Grading Moody Road and 250th Street.
Okay.
Riverview have plenty of gravel on hand? I see you've been using some.
Yes.
Do they? Good.
Problem is when it rains,
do we have a job?
Can't get to it. Yeah.
Not very good to get into it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Tell report.
The structure, the bridge structure out there on out by Arnie on East Sarpy. It was a start date of October 1st. The superstructures or big I-beams are a little behind, won't be here for 2 weeks. So the contractor decided to wait till they were available. So once he moved in, we're in there, started, and did not have to stop to be waiting for some of the material.
I got one there.
So
will that put him on schedule? Be done by the end of the year.
We'll still have a completion date of December 1st. If everything goes good, he thought he could still do it. Everything, material and weather.
That's crazy.
It runs over a little bit.
Yeah. Well, this weather hasn't been very cooperative either.
It keeps us up.
We just like
going to be pretty good
someday.
Good.
Surprise.
Yeah.
What's that? This is
yes.
I can make it from the
yes. Hang on here. You know that one that Tony Gomez bridge?
Tax money.
Paid money.
Okay, thanks, Fred. Okay, Sheriff Clymer, are you good with Fred? Everybody's good with Fred? Sheriff, come on up. The jail report. Welcome.
Hello. So average September per day is County 85, Federal 26, Juvenile 0, total 111. Calendar average per day is 89 County, Federal 19, Juveniles 07, .07, that is 108. And fiscal average per day is 88 County, 26 Federal, .02, Juveniles 114. September Marshals brought in 42,370. ICE was 12,662. Other BIA and federal contracts was a little over 55,000, about 56,000. So fiscal marshals, 128,175. ICE, 42,682. And fiscal federal, 171,700.
Sure.
2018 calendar, 371,700.
Do you know last year at this time where we were at all that money?
Not even half that.
I was going to say, it had to have been less than half. So
we've almost tripled the marshals just in the last couple months.
That's huge, yeah. That's good to see that number rising.
The ICE is going up so much because we're doing so much of that transport. So Randy and those guys are constantly going from one place to the next. And ICE is using us all the time now for their transports from Hall County to here, and they pay decent for those. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so where was I? September contracts, 4,705. That would be other than the federal contracts. And fiscal county contracts for the year is 15,800. That's actually other counties. So September cost of an inmate was $53.79 a day. We spent 180 grand for the month of September. Jail's at 24% of budget, which is 1% under for this year. Jail spent 25% of total estimated yearly budget, 21,000 less than allotted for September, so we're 10.5% under budget for the month. Sheriff's Office, we brought in 27 last month, PD 41, NSP 4, courts or cell 17, feds 26, and other 8. County 43 for average. And I see here it's got homeless too. Usually don't see them. But so be the jail report for the month of September.
All right, thank you. Any questions for the sheriff on that? Okay, Sheriff, you're still up again. Thanks. You're requesting approval to spend the excess of $10,000 for the purchase of a 100-gallon water heater for the jail.
There's two of those in there. They're basically boilers. They're not...
A regular hot water heater.
Not a regular 100-gallon hot water heater. Because that price, when I seen that from the first bid, I told the maintenance guy, hey, I got to get a couple bids, so this is ridiculous. So we just kind of threw some fillers out, had some other guys bid. They were pretty close. The lowest bid was the only one that brought us three or four different brands that we could go with. A little less expensive, a little more. But, yeah, it's not just throwing in a water heater. I'd do it myself. You got to be licensed. And if I blow something up, I'd really be in trouble.
So what we have here is Falk Brothers, correct?
I ran out of there and didn't bring those, but I did email them to Jones, so I don't have them on me.
We have a sheet with all of them on there.
Do you have all of them on there? You do?
Yeah.
Either I'm not well put together today, or I'm not seeing.
Yeah, it's right behind you there. It's not quite big enough to read, but it's there. All right. Yeah, it's an expensive water heater. That costs about what the federal government gives us to house ICE. That's about what they give us a year, about 12 grand.
Oh, really?
Okay, what's the board's
more plumbing?
I'm familiar with them. Yeah,
sorry.
I'm familiar with all four of them. Okay, I've been on a job with all four of them.
There's about half the cost.
Yeah.
Is that with 1,000 laborers who just have 1,000 on?
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah,
all those.
Yeah,
and submitted the price of the hot water heater.
On the last one there, the reason why he fluctuates is because he supplied two different types. He done a little more leg work than.
But as far as the quality of water heater, I mean, is it similar or what?
No, Tony, I don't know much about those big water heaters. I know about households, so.
I see. Good.
Yeah, the Bach is a good commercial.
Good commercial?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know anything about the Phoenix, but.
Yeah, and he said that the Phoenix was. It was about like the Rheems and the other ones you buy at, you know, one's a name brand,
yeah.
One's the same thing.
So more plumbing.
The warranty is the same.
More is the lowest. Marty, do you see any? And I don't know nothing about them, just like the sheriff does. They're based here in Dakota County, which you know doesn't. I mean, if they were all Sioux City, we'd make a decision. But I mean, mm-hmm. Obviously, he's the least expensive one. Would you recommend him?
He's from Dakota County. I don't see a reason in the world not to put it in there. And it's not like. It's not like it's brain surgery. I mean, it would take him a day or two to do it, but it's a pretty straightforward process. It's not like a plumber would be more qualified than the other guy.
So to be quite honest, you guys, you know, a lot of these big guys, well, this one water heater Jess has been dealing with for 6-7 weeks now. It keeps blowing bypass valves. It's not good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he keeps calling the same people up there, and they just, oh, you know, they come in and do a little something. We're spending more money on trying to keep that thing running. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I said, get bids. We're getting to do
it. Yeah.
You want to make a motion for more?
Yeah.
Okay. I figured you were going to do that. That's why I put kind of words in your mouth. So Marty's going to make a motion to use more plumbing for the possible excess of the $10,000 for the house in 20 seconds. Will you call roll, please, Joe?
Yep.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Okay, before we move on to Tiffany here, just real quick, if we do make our quarterly visit, is everybody going to be able to do that? Either Sheriff can go ahead and go about his way, or do we have till the end of the month? Is that correct?
Yeah, I can't go today.
Okay, so I just, before you leave, I just want to make sure either you...
Yeah, you may forget about it.
You want to say forget about it today?
Do the self.
Hey, it's up to you. I'm fine with it. I'm hungry. I'm going to go on.
We'll do it next time. See you later. We'll put it on for the 22nd,
right,
for sure. That.
Thanks, Sheriff.
Thanks, Sheriff. Okay, Tiffany Hansen, Health Director. Quarterly report. Okay, everyone.
I'll make it quick.
No. Well, yeah, I know you will, just because you talk faster than I do.
So we had our regular Health Board quarterly meeting.
Oh,
Budget was at 98% expense because this kind of closed out the year, so that was for the June 30th. Planning, we're working on accreditation. We just completed our community needs assessment, so we're working on the report, which will go for our next quarterly board meeting approval. Annual report, we did 681 children were through the clinic. They received 2,300 vaccinations. 57 adults and 121 vaccinations were given to them. For the end of the fiscal year, we had $141,496 in through 13 revenue sources. Grant-wise, BT, we just submitted quarter four reports. They came back around $10,000 in reimbursement. Jen did the 18-19 work plan with approval. They got a new person that is in charge of the grant, so many people will remember Shirley Pickens-White. Scott, did you ever meet with Shirley when she came the first time before I was hired? No. Anyway, so she has been replaced, so now we're going to have a new site visitor that's coming on Friday. Her name is Brittany Harrington, I think is her name. Jen's working on our ORR, which is how they assess our program now, so she's going to be working on lots of trainings and exercises because that's really how the CDC wants us to kind of monitor our process and how our plans are working. Immunization, we did quarter two reports. They are in for about $7,500 in reimbursement. We replaced Bonnie. So if you've been in office, our new secretary, her name is Isabel, and she's also going to be cross-trained to do our health navigator, our community health worker program. So that'll be helpful for Jessica, who helps a lot of our minority health initiative patients. West Nile, we are just wrapping up the year now that we're getting close to frost, and so we'll be submitting final reports, and that's for about $1,000. MHI, we just did quarter four. This was for about $17,000. Jessica is now certified to do the diabetes prevention program through the CDC, so she can also lead that class in English and Spanish. We're going to launch a Living Well workshop with Dakota City United Methodist here at the end of the month. So that's for anyone with chronic disease. They can come, or if they're caregivers for people with chronic disease. Isabel is going to be doing the community health worker course in this spring. Radon, we're gearing up. So October 1st is kind of the start of radon awareness and mitigation. So those kits are available for $1.
When can you start purchasing them?
Anytime now, after the first. So we have them available in the health department, so you can come. Just the key thing is making sure your house is closed up. So some people now this time of year, before it gets too cold, they like to have their windows open and things like that. The key is really just to make sure.
And it makes no difference if it's a newer house or an older house.
No.
I mean, it's, yeah, right.
Yep.
So for $1 for the kit, mm-hmm. and it covers a whole house?
You do them the lowest level of your house.
Yep.
You do them for 72 hours usually, then you send them into the lab, and they'll send them back. Typically in our area, people are notoriously high. We just have high levels of radon in this kind of region. And so usually if they come back high or within 4 to 10, we'll give you another kit. And then if it's high again, some people are not convinced that it's really radon, and so we'll give you a long-term kit, which has 90 days. And then if it's still high, we really would strongly recommend getting a mitigation system installed. And they range in square footage of your houses. Surveillance, we still do surveillance for Northeast. So we did 28 cases the last quarter for them. We had 81 cases for our county. New business that we discussed, we're going to update our bylaws. We updated our mission statement to, it's at now, to create and promote a healthier community. We are officially moving forward with the accreditation process, so we needed board approval just to move forward with that. And we did an officer election at the last meeting, so Becky Mathis is still the president, Dr. Aiken is still the vice president, and the board voted to have Isabel do the board notes for us.
And we still got Winty on the payroll.
Yes.
Right on.
We have 2019 years to do our Medicaid contract, and so we can...
So you go to any meeting? Go to
he was all of them. Yeah, we know this. We've talked about this, Tiffany. We know what his credentials and where I understand.
Well, 2019, we're going to renew our Medicaid contract, so then it becomes a little easier to switch people out because it's about 60 pages, and we need, like, all of his history. We need a Social Security number, all those things, so it's a little easier to move physicians if we want to when we renew those contracts.
It all works out. Okay, sounds good. Listen, any questions for Tiffany? Thanks for all you do. Seems like you got a great crew of people, right?
Yeah, they work really well together, so
good.
We're doing a great job.
That's nice. That's good to hear. Okay, well, good. Thank you. Thank you for the report. Yep, have a good night. Commissioner Committee reports, anyone?
I've got one.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Well,
Remember last meeting we turned over the Salter Sander to the road committee?
Mm-hmm.
We went with the one at Northern Truck and Equipment at Sioux Falls. They had two different units. One was a 5.2 yard. The other was a 6.7 yard. And then the Sioux City bid, Stephan Equipment, that one was $18,705. We went with the mid-range with the Northern Equipment at Sioux Falls, the 6.7 cubic yard. $12,783.
Good.
We got the good capacity. Mm-hmm. They're all stainless steel. They're all good units. That was just a better bargain up there at Sioux Falls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's in stock.
Nice.
First come, first serve basis. So we should be able to add and ask Fred today to do if they still had it.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. So yeah, we're going to get it right away.
Yeah, he said he was acting on it today.
Okay. Yep. Good.
So okay. That's good. Sounds like a plan. Need them. Anybody else? Mill emergency business? I don't think we have anything to do each one. Okay, we are adjourned, and our next regular meeting is going to be on October 22nd. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Have a great evening. Huh?
I won't be here on the 22nd.
Okay. I won't be either.
I won't be here. Know right off hand what time that planning zone is. And then I'm...
Or you're doing the...